Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from veto to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 6th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and joining me today is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
Hey, I thought I would make it a fun night one recap morning. And, you know, send you off with a bon voyage, Taryn, you know, like this is your time. This is your moment.
Yes. It was day one in the Big Brother 22 house.
One. Yep.
Day one. And I'm here to let you know everything that happened on the live feeds on day one of Big Brother 22. It's All Stars 2. And I don't even know how I'm speaking this loud because I'm so tired right now.
Yes, I was wondering if you were going to tell them, like, because sometimes like I was always taught as a public speaker, like, you know, like never let the audience know if you're feeling bad, like just because if you bring it up, then that's all they'll notice.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm like, but yeah, right. So like, you know, that was like an old wives' tale. But like for real, like I'm so glad you told them because like he comes on today and I'm like, and I saw it was like 11 a.m. and I'm like, Taryn, you want me to come on? Because I know like not a ton happened last night, so like maybe we can have some fun on the morning update, plus it's the first one. And he's like, sure. And then I come on and he's like, man, I'm so tired, I just woke up like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah,
he's a tired kitty.
So I had planned on doing this update myself, just because the first night of feeds is usually so packed with information that we didn't even know that we were going to get feeds. So scheduling it with somebody else would have been more difficult anyway. And so it just kind of made sense. Just do it by yourself. Just get all the information out in that first one. Not a whole lot that went down last night on the feeds. This is still going to be, I think, a good, like, important first night of information for the game, but it's going to be a little bit light on game details because they were as tired as I was and they wanted to go to bed. And there wasn't a ton of game talk. There was definitely, as they were pointing out in the chat, a decent amount of gossip. But this is not a live feed gossip update. Not a ton there. For those of you joining this live feed update, you haven't listened to this before, you're new to Big Brother, you're new to this podcast in particular. As I said, the show, it runs, but they have live feeds 24/7 on the internet. Not really 24/7, but good, close enough. I am going to be here every single morning to update you on everything that happens the previous day on the live feeds to keep you up to date with what's really happening in the house and in the game. You cannot just rely on the edit of the show. It will not tell you everything that's happening. It will not tell you the whole truth. You just need to listen to me on the podcast and we'll have fun with it. We'll reenact some stuff. We'll analyze it and we'll commiserate when things are not fun.
Right?
We'll always have fun here.
I love that this has become such an indispensable part of Big Brother and RHAP, because a lot of people don't remember that there was a time when you did not do this. Like, this started in Big Brother 19, I believe. And like before that, like, you know, Big Brother 17, Big Brother 18, all through the early seasons of Big Brother Canada, we did not do live updates in the mornings. But now that Terrence started it, and he's been doing it obviously for the past 3 years and counting, and it's been doing a fine job, I might say. Never, I believe, at least last season, never missing a day.
Since I started.
Really, it's a thankless job, I'm telling you guys, to be this on the ball about everything, every day in and day out. And I know that myself, you know, I work like a bitch has a life. Like, I use Taryn myself sometimes when I miss stuff. I'm like, well, what happened between 6 and 10 o'clock when I was at work? So it's nice to have Taryn here, and I am so glad to get you started.
All right. So I woke up this morning, you know, like 20 minutes ago at this point, and yep. And got a text from Brent like, hey, if you still don't have anyone, I know there's not much to talk about. Like, that'd be great, because I am currently thinking at an 11th grade level, and you know, there's not a lot to go through last night. So yeah. Let's talk about it. The All-Stars entered the house. We all saw the premiere. Cody won the HOH. We don't get, like I said, we don't get a lot of strategy talk, but the first real bit of strategy that I noticed watching last night was Cody and Tyler, actually, in the pantry. Tyler was in there, you know, opening the fridge. He was looking at the pizzas, and Cody comes in. The door is just about closed, and Cody quickly says to him, you ready to run this thing? And right as he says it, Kacer whips his hand in the door, opens it back up, and Tyler's like, yeah, ready to run through some pizzas.
Yeah, and they think, listen, let me tell you, they think they were slick. They think that they put one over on old Kacer and that he didn't hear anything. Now, to be fair, there's no evidence that Kacer did hear anything, but I have to believe he heard it, and there's no way he's going to think that they were going to run through some pizzas. Like, when you go into the storage room and you talk, like, it's always about strategy. It's not about pizzas, for heaven's sake. So I was loving that moment, and I love the fact that afterwards they recounted it at the end of the night. It comes back to this, where I won't say anything else, but Tyler and Cody were had a chance to talk privately, and they brought this moment up, and they were like, you know, congratulating themselves on covering it, but also really annoyed with the fact that Kacer overheard them. Cody was like, I saw that door closing, and it had, like, you know, this much, you know, like an inch to go before it closed. And I thought, oh, I'm good. Like, I can say whatever I want. And then his hand just comes swooping in there and opens it back up. I was so ticked, man.
Yeah. That was the introduction to the strategic portion of the game on yep. Big Brother 22. You know, Kacer just kind of overhearing Cody and Tyler wanting to run the game together. Kacer, who may or may not have heard what Cody said. Now, I am of the belief that he did not hear it, actually. It was a little too quiet. He probably walked in. He probably got a vibe, but I don't think he heard the statement. Kacer is later going to talk to Janelle, who I feel he doesn't have any reason to hold back any information from, does not bring this up at all. So, so that's part of why I think he probably didn't hear it. But He is going to shortly after go and talk to Cody in the bathroom and just kind of like, you know, where's your head at a little bit? And Cody is pretty dismissive.
Yeah, Cody's like, this is, so I'm Cody. So, you know, man, like, yeah, it's cool. Like, I just wanted to be safe. And, you know, as far as like, you know, anything, you know, to do with, you know, whatever, the game, like, I'll deal with all that tomorrow, man. Like, I'm tired tonight and I'm just going to take a shower and, you know, like that sort of stuff can wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, we're all tired. You know, it's we're just taking it slow.
Yeah.
I think Kacer kind of like rightly is like, no, damn it. Because when somebody tells you this in the Big Brother house, when somebody tells you, I just don't want to talk game yet. Let's just chill for a little while. Zero chance that they're being 100% genuine.
Zero chance. Under All-Star season. Yeah.
They're trying to stall you so that they don't have to deal with lying to you for as long a period of time. So I have to imagine that Kacer did not feel great about getting that response. I did not feel great about Kacer getting that response. And so they continued to have like this chit chat afterward that was like, yeah, so, you know, this is our life now. What are you up to? And what are the things? And it was pleasant enough, but they don't seem to connect very well so far in this night one of the feeds. And so that's a little concerning if you, like me, want Kacer to stay for as long as possible.
I think it's very concerning. I will say that when they were talking, like, you know, Kacer was trying to bond with him. He was trying to talk to him, trying to, you know, get Cody to see, you know, it's really, like, I'll say this. I've played reality games before, and when you don't know anything about people, it's really easy to just put them up. The more you get to know somebody, the more you get to know their personhood and their being, you know, like who they are as a human being. Like, it is inevitably harder to put them up when you get to know people. So, you know, anything that Kacer can do for Cody to get to know him and see like the man behind the name of Kacer, as he's told Julie Chen, I think is a good thing on Kacer's part. So I'm hoping that he can avoid the block. Also, it would benefit him as he later talks with Janelle about if nominations are tomorrow. Typically in Big Brother, nominations are on Friday because head of household competitions are on Thursday. Today is Thursday, and vetoes are obviously usually played on Saturday. So if they go the normal schedule, and it looks like this is the normal schedule, then the nominations would be tomorrow. So he'd still have another day to talk with Cody, and maybe a little bit of Friday to talk with Cody. But if nominations are today, and they could be, like, I mean, Big Brother might want to get ahead of things and just get things going, then he might be in trouble.
Yeah. And to be clear, we are never going to find out any kind of concrete evidence about who Cody plans on targeting over the entire night. So, Kacer and Cody had like a slightly weird conversation. And I think that at the very least, it's an indication that they are likely not working together in any capacity. One thing that is a little weird about this night of feeds is that, yes, it's night one of feeds, but we're still kind of looking at it like we do the first night of feeds that is a week into the game, where we're looking for like who's aligned with who. We don't know because we haven't seen. We are right now kind of looking for who's aligned with who from the pregame, who's been talking. I think it's pretty clear that Cody and Tyler had been talking, considering how quickly they were like, let's do this thing. And so I think it's also pretty clear that Cody and Kacer had not been talking. And so that's pretty valuable information to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he said in the diary room to Julie Chen, when she asked him, who are you surprised to see? He was like, I guess like Kacer. First of all, can't even say his name right. That's number one. Like, he has no clue who this guy was, or at the very least, even if he does have a clue who he was, he had no clue he was going to be on this season. Like, he had no inkling that Kacer was going to be on Big Brother 22. So that's something right there. Like, because I have to say, most of these people that we saw last night, I have to think Cody had, you know, an idea that 80% of them were probably going to be on the show, or at least had a shot to be on the show. But I don't think Kacer was one of those people.
Yes. So like I said, no reason to believe that Cody will target or nominate Kacer necessarily. Just, you know, there wasn't much to go on in terms of where is the house structure. And so it was kind of a weird conversation. Tyler and Bailey were a relationship that I was trying to pay a lot of attention to, because we talked about it a lot. I mean, they clashed on their original season. However,
good morning.
Yes, I noted before when we were doing the hypotheticals that I do think that they have mended things to a degree, and they seem like they're on good terms heading into the house. That seems to be true in the house. They seem not only good, but they seem tight. Like, Bailey is joking around with Tyler. She's going up to his ear. She's whispering things to him. And then he's like, "What? I didn't hear you." And then she's like, "I'll tell you later." They're talking about like their significant others. And, Bailey is like, you know, make sure you give Angela, you know, the comic version of Angela on the wall a kiss. And he's like, "I will." And then he leaves the room, and she doesn't, you know, she's still smiling like it was all like, this is good, like this is a genuine bond here.
That was, and I've obviously noticed this before, but I'm so glad you caught that last night, Taryn, bringing up the fact that when she had a conversation with Tyler, when he left the room, her face did not drop. Okay, it did not drop in any conceivable form. She was still the same person. There was no fakeness there. I do think at some point, just with the paranoia in the Big Brother house, this relationship will deteriorate. But for now, it seems pretty good.
Yes. That's the thing about the Big Brother house. They can come in as friends, but the second they start thinking about and remembering, like, oh, man, the last time I really trusted that Tyler guy, do I really need to do it? And like somebody comes up to them and says, I mean, do you really trust Tyler? I mean, I heard him talking to this other person. Like, no, it's not, it's happening again. So you never know. But for now, they are good, seemingly. Tyler did seem pretty nervous overall, especially at the start of the night. There was the feeds opened on Tyler and Janelle talking about, you know, people that weren't there. Dan, and Tyler's like, I'm glad Dan's not here. I'm scared of Dan. And Janelle's like, I like Dan. He's a friend of mine. And they talked about, you know, other people that were, she was like, are you happy that some people aren't here? And he's like, not really.
That was an honest answer.
I like everyone from my season. Like, I would have been fine. And they talked about, and he said, like, and Josh, like, man, like, it's pretty clear that our predictions that Tyler would be a little bit shaken by the fact that his probably his entire game plan has been turned upside down with Josh and Casey not in the house seems to be true. And he was walking around a bit, nervous overall. And it didn't go unnoticed by the other house guests, Nicole and Danny are going to point it out later in a conversation that we'll talk about later. But first, I have to talk about one of my favorite parts of the night, which was that we cut to Kacer and Nicole Anthony in the storage room. And he was basically like, I don't know if you guys remember from last season, when I met Nicole for the first time, and I was like, look, I just think you're awesome. You're just such a great person. I just think you're cool. He basically did that in the house. He was like, yep. Look, I just admire the way that you handled that situation last season. It really sucked how you were treated. I think that's like so bad of those people. And she's like, oh my God, it means a lot coming from you, Kacer.
Coming from you. Yeah, yeah. I love that she said that. Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't say that to me. And so, they both talk about like being trustworthy. Like they're loyal players, they're honest players, they're like just like chill people. This is definitely like a preliminary, like, let's work together kind of conversation. It makes a lot of sense. It's Nicole Anthony. It's Kacer. They're both just awesome. It was very exciting to see these two, come together like this.
It really was. I mean, like, you know, I think at the end of the day, even though we can talk all the strategy we want, we're fanboys and fangirls. And it was really, really like out of my wildest dreams to see Nicole Anthony talking with Kacer in the middle of the storage room, in the middle of Big Brother All-Stars, and having a really warm conversation. As Tara noted, I love the fact that she said that means a lot coming from you. You have to think Kacer was aware of the fact that some of these people might not know who the hell he is. Like, seriously, his season was, you know, what, 15 years ago, 14 years ago? Like, my goodness, it's been a long time. But she knew who he was and said that. Also, she just recently watched Big Brother 6 and Big Brother 10 in Sequester. So she obviously, you know, is well aware of who Kacer is. And if I was Kacer, that would make me feel good. That she saw who I am and what kind of a game I play and how trustworthy I am. So she knows she can trust me. That would make me feel great.
Yeah, Big Brother 6 is a great season to have watched if you're Kacer and you're like hoping that somebody else watched your season. Season 7 even was like slightly worse, I think, because he makes that kind of like underhanded deal with Dr. Will. But season 6 is very like, I stand for my people. Like he takes the fall for them. It's interesting stuff there. Nicole mentions that it would be therapeutic to be able to smash some watermelons. And Kacer says, let's just hope there aren't any watermelon fanatics in here this year. That'd be great.
Kacer with the shade. I like it.
So that's very exciting. We then got the first real like chunk of strategy talk, and it was less strategy talk and more just kind of like getting a sense of where people's heads might be at. So Nicole Franzel, they did talk a little bit earlier and had a discussion about like, there's two Nicoles. How are we going to do this? And let's be real here, guys. We need to figure this out because typing Nicole A and Nicole F on Twitter or in my notes is just disgusting. It's no, this can't be done. We need to figure this out. We need to fix this. Nicole Franzel actually said, I like to go by Nick and Vic, N-I-C. Nobody calls her that though yet. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. For now, I'll probably refer to her as Franzel and Nicole Anthony as Nicole until we figure out something a little better. But
I'm hoping that the house guests can figure out something because like right. It's so often where the house guests figure out something, then we copy it. Like what happened with Sis last year and everything. Anybody has a nickname. Anytime something happens in the Big Brother house, we typically copy it. So the house guests can get their act together, then we'll be fine.
Yes, or one of them will leave this week.
Well, yeah, that's also a possibility. But I'll say that though, if that happens, I don't think it's going to be Nicole Franzel. So
there can be only one Nicole. All right, Nicole Franzel and Danny. I still didn't hear her say her last name, but I assume she still would introduce herself by Dani Briones, but she's, mm-hmm. She would like to be called Dani, not Danielle. So Nicole, Franzel, and Dani have the first whispering session of the live feeds, which was terrible because Dani is notorious for her inaudible whispering sessions. And the audio on the live feeds last night was atrocious on these particular cameras. So this was very difficult to hear, but I was able to catch some things here and there. Nicole mentioned a little bit earlier about how she watched a couple episodes of Big Brother 18 in Sequester for the first time, and she wanted to throw up. She's like, I wouldn't like myself.
Yes!
She was like, oh,
now
my God.
You see!
She was watching because she wanted to figure out who actually betrayed who between herself and Devon, because she still wasn't sure which came first necessarily, and she kind of wanted to know how it happened. And really how it happened was very similar to what we talked about with Tyler and Bailey, where they didn't necessarily have history, but like they just kind of existed in this place where they both just didn't fully trust each other and thought that the other one was going to turn on them. And it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so Nicole kind of was like, I trying to recognize her part in that and the responsibility that she bore for that and like how she pissed off Big Meech. And so she was talking about that kind of thing. She talked with Dani specifically in whisper style about Devon, and Dani likes Devon. Nicole does too. She says she would like to work with Devon. She just needs to make sure that they've got the trust. Otherwise it'll just turn back into whatever it was before.
So I think the truth matters less than what Nicole Franzel thinks the truth is. So did we get an answer? I missed it on whether or not she thinks that she was the one who ultimately betrayed Devon, because if she does think that, then there's an obvious action that she can do and go to Devon and say, hey, I watched it. I want you to know I'm sorry. My bad. That won't happen again. Trust me.
I think that's what's going to happen, because yes, she does feel like she is the one that betrayed Devon first, or at least that's what she's saying in the house. And I think that's probably the right call, because like, you're not going to like convince Devon that like, no, but you did betray me first. Like, that's not going to make Devon trust Nicole anymore. If Nicole does go up there and be like, look, I watched Big Brother 18 for the first time and I saw that I was the one that got paranoid first and I caused the whole downward spiral. And I just want you to know, I'm so sorry. Like, things could have been so much better that season if I didn't do that. And, I really want to, you know, make something work this season. I think Devon would be open to it. I would guess that Devon is still going to be like, I'm not going to trust you, but she'd definitely be willing to like
I can trust you for now.
Exactly.
I feel like that's what they can get out of it. I feel like Devon can trust her for now. I would say that the other thing that Nicole should probably do is thank Devon for her jury vote. She can start off that way. First of all, I watched Big Brother 18. I was pretty awful that season, so thank you for your jury vote. Like, I appreciate it, and then fall on her sword. I think that might even have some more tact.
Mm-hmm. So they continue to talk, Dani and Nicole Franzel. It becomes pretty obvious that these two have some kind of connection. They probably talked in the pregame to some degree.
I wonder why. Who are they friends with, Taryn?
Right. I believe that this is a connection that we kind of knew a little bit about. We didn't know how close they would be, but yeah, they're both pretty friendly with Andy Heron.
Yes.
And that seems to be a decent connection between the two of them. Dani also showed up for Nicole's engagement, even if she didn't know where she was going. But honestly, if anything, that might have been like an introduction. She was on Nicole's podcast, so they seem to be like in pretty good.
Yeah.
And They talk about, they think that David seems nice, but Danny was like, I'm kind of surprised to see him here, but, you know, it seems nice. Danny was not impressed with everyone's just fangirling over Janelle and Kacer. She was not impressed with it. All of our hopes and dreams and fantasies about Janelle and Danny working together, that took a hit. Took a hit last night with that comment.
I mean, I was stunned by that. I really was. I don't know if I should have been stunned. I would think that Danny would want to work with an icon and a strong woman like Janelle. Don't really know where the Janelle shade was coming from on that one. But neither one of them really were into Janelle. And also, speaking of podcasts, Taryn, they were not into one Nicole Anthony, apparently, because they both ghosted her, as the kids say, for her podcast with Eric on Reality Recaps, and they don't feel good about it. Now, it didn't seem like they were against Nicole Anthony necessarily, but they're worried about their reception with Nicole Anthony. I feel like that's probably more where that is right now.
Rob in the chat. This happens. I tweeted out yesterday that it had happened. I reached out to a couple of the people on this season and they didn't respond to me. So if I was playing the game with them, they might want to target me because of it. I think that they didn't want to do her podcast, and they ignored her. They seem to both, I think there's probably a little bit more here than just the fact that they ignored her. Maybe with Nicole, it's the fact that there's another Nicole. She did bring that up.
She did bring that up. I was like, you petty. Like,
we said this might happen. We did.
She was like, I didn't think they would bring another Nicole here because I'm here. Oh my God. So everybody that hates Nicole Franzel for thinking it's all about her just got fed really well by her saying that.
I mean, it is annoying. I will admit.
We can say that. We're not Nicole. Like, yeah. She can't say that.
This would, it was brought up like the one person that they did not want to win HOH the most that night was Nicole Anthony. They were like, please not Nicole Anthony. They really don't seem they don't like her podcast. They don't want to go on her podcast.
She is a lovely human being. I do not understand the hate. And also she was all about strong women and supporting them. And there's no doubt in my mind that if she had won HOH, I do not believe she would have targeted either one of these people. She would have put two guys up on the block, point blank and the period. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I have to believe that these two people would have been safe if Nicole Anthony had won, but obviously they feel differently.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So I do think there are a couple of notes here. Now, I'm not like fully up on this myself, but I have heard from a lot of people, Nicole Franzel and Eric Curto, the person that Nicole podcasts with, the person that runs the podcast that she is on and invites people on, do not get along.
Nicole doesn't get along with a podcaster. She does not, apparently.
There's two of them. that apparently, and again, I don't want to speak for Eric, but what I'm hearing is that he is not the biggest Nicole Franzel fan. They're saying that he hates her in the chat. We know firsthand, Brent certainly does, that Nicole Franzel does not take kindly to podcasters who come for her. And it would not surprise me at all if that is one of the main sources of this animosity and one of the reasons why Nicole and or Danny didn't want to do the podcast and are feeling like I don't want to deal with this person.
And to be fair to them, she and Nicole Anthony, I'm talking about, is, I don't want to say in lockstep with Eric Curto, but she's pretty close to him in the real world. So if they are feeling a certain way about Eric, this could have ramifications for Nicole Anthony. I feel terrible saying that. Like I don't want that to happen. I've talked with Eric. Eric's a great guy. You know, he's a podcaster who has opinions just like I have opinions in a similar vein.
It's what happens. The danger of podcasting when you want to play a social game. It's tricky. I think in addition to this as well, something that I talked about in the preseason was that I felt like Nicole Anthony comes into the season in one of the worst positions, in the sense that I don't think she reached out to anyone. I don't think she pre-gamed, but it was pretty clear that she was going to be on even before the sequestering, or at least like in like while the sequester stuff was happening. And so I think a lot of people saw that, like, oh, she's going to be on the season. She hasn't reached out to me. She reached out to me for a podcast. I never said anything to her. Now she's not reaching out to me when we're about to play a game. I wonder if she feels like she can't work with me. That makes me nervous. Boom. Right.
Yeah.
So there it is. There's definitely a Nicole Anthony, Nicole Franzel sort of thing, right? And this is dangerous for Nicole Anthony, because Cody mentioned in the premiere episode that he wants to go with the house. Again, Nicole Anthony coming in without too many connections. I'm still presuming that. I didn't see that she had any pregame connections all night. So it seems to confirm a little bit of it, at least.
Which is odd for me. Like, I don't understand why she wouldn't have reached out to some people. Like, she had to know.
Especially with Eric's connections, right?
Yeah, like, especially with Eric's connections. Like, I mean, I know that, you know, him and Franzel don't get along necessarily, but he's pretty good with a lot of reality people, I have to believe. And even if he wasn't good with these specific people, he has to have, you know, connections to at least get to some of these people and maybe have, you know, some talks. So I'm hoping that maybe that actually happened. I will, as a funny aside, Rob said in the chat, it's the same as if I went back on Survivor and if the other players know who Brent is.
Yeah. I mean, Rob's cool, but he works with that Brent guy, and I just, nah. No,
you really have to question his taste level if he's working with a guy like that.
I think that Nicole Anthony, you know, if we're talking about possible targets, Nicole Anthony could definitely be an easy house target if Franzel or Danny or somebody else brings Nicole Anthony up to Cody. That's such an easy person to send out the door. Nobody will be too upset. And it's doing the will of the house. And I think it's probably a lot of what Cody is looking for as a nice, clean first HOH reign. And so I think that's definitely a danger as well. And again, she seems to be linking up with, you know, Pacer, who, as we talked about, also does not seem to have a great connection to Cody. So it's not like she's making connections that will be able to save her in this moment quite yet. So again, we don't know who's going up on the block, but this is another worry point.
Yeah, another possibility, and I'm hoping that my real nightmare would be something like, you know, Nicole Anthony and Kacer nominations. I'm really hoping that the Kacer nomination would not go through for Cody, mainly because, as we talked about with Taryn last night on Twitch, if you take a shot at Kacer, you're effectively taking a shot at Janelle. You know, I feel like Cody would have to know that. So hopefully, if Nicole goes on the block, it's up against somebody that she might have some equity against in terms of staying.
Yes. So they also, Nicole and Danny, talked about, I believe, Bailey, that they were just skeptical in general, that they said something along the lines of, like, she's kind of problematic. She's very opinionated, and that perhaps worries them. They're seemingly not huge fans of Bailey. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how Tyler seems very miserable in the house. But he was coming in expecting some allies and he doesn't have them. But they didn't talk about, like, nobody all night talked about Tyler as a dangerous player. They all talked about, like, Tyler, man, he seems out of it. Poor Tyler with no allies, right? Which is, you know, that's Tyler's MO.
Yeah, they looked at him almost like a wounded bird. Like, oh, you feel sorry for him. So I said last night with Taryn that I don't think that will last long. If he's feeling a certain way about, you know, the fact Casey and Josh or other potential allies are not in the cast, it's going to look obvious to anybody. First of all, Tyler has a ton of charisma, and if he starts feeling comfortable in the house, it's going to show to people. So I don't think this will last long.
Mm-hmm. So that was basically that conversation. Like I said, it definitely seems like they will be working together to some degree. You never know. I think that a lot of what we saw last night was not the power structure of the house, at least in week one, which means anything that's being built could easily be knocked over by Cody. It's hard to build things when you're not in power, because as soon as you start to, the person in power can shut you down. And so you have to be super careful about it. When you're being super careful about it, you're not able to build as, you know, strong a structure as, you know, the other side. So, we'll see where this goes, but for now, Danny and Nicole Franzel are in lockstep with their gossiping.
I will say really quickly, and I'm not trying to start anything, just my personal opinion, I don't love the idea of them referring to Bailey as problematic. I feel like a different word would have been more appropriate there. I don't think that Bailey is problematic as a person. Maybe they were referring to her as a, being a potential obstacle within the game, but it didn't come off particularly well to me, and I would have preferred them to say it differently. Just noted for the record.
Mm-hmm. My guess is that they probably heard about the Kevin charity game, and that's probably what they were referring to, but that would be my guess. So Janelle and Memphis talk a little bit of game. They're concerned about what Cody might do. Memphis kind of wants to feel him out and talk to him tomorrow and get a sense of where his head might be at. Memphis feels like Cody's the kind of guy he's going to want some, like, strong allies and stuff like that. So I feel like that's a solid place to be. Cody got his HOH room, and a bunch of people were in there for a very long time. And it was awkward. It was kind of, like, there were a lot of awkward silences. A lot of different people pointed it out that, like, it was It's kind of weird. And I was getting, and again, we don't usually get night one feeds. So for all we know, it is all always like this. I think Keisha had a conversation with Kaser about this, that like, it's weird. It's awkward. It's silent. Like, I don't remember it being like this, but maybe it was, and I just forgot. And I feel like that might be true. We don't often see this sort of thing, but it may also be a little bit like what we saw with Winners at War earlier this year, where at the start of the game, everyone was like super careful about where they stepped. And then as soon as somebody went, everybody took off. And so I'm wondering if that's kind of what we're going to see here with this all-star cast. But it's been kind of awkward. There was a group that left the HOH room early. It was like Ian, Kaser, Memphis was there. Kevin, Janelle ended up coming out there. And
they were right outside the HOH room.
Yeah.
Right where they normally play chess, which the chessboard is downstairs, which I said last night, I hope they bring it upstairs because that's where it belongs. But there's a little loft right outside the HOH room, and they all had a pretty long talk out there reminiscing about some stuff and also a little bit of strategy.
Yes, like having super fan conversations about old seasons and nerdy conversations about nerdy things. It was a cool group.
It was.
And I, again, though, I feel like this is probably the outcast group at the moment. We'll see. But you know, they left the HRH room. They were hanging out together. They click pretty well, but.
Taryn, I know that you loved this. There's a little bit of super fan talking about previous seasons when Ian Terry was talking to Janelle, Memphis, and Kevin, I think, was there about the Dan's funeral article that was in Entertainment Weekly, and all of the house guests got interviewed for. Ian said, because everybody was talking about how, you know, they talk with their old seasons and they, you know, they had their friends with people on their seasons. Ian read that article and he was like, first of all, everybody on this season in this article, like we all need psychological counseling. Like, and then no one has been able to move on from the game. They're all still carrying it with them. And he's also really jealous of the fact that everyone else like seems to have friends from their season. Like Big Brother 14, he doesn't really talk with anybody from Big Brother 14. Even Janelle said, you know, season six and season seven, she loves all those people. You know, she has good relationships and friendships, lifelong friendships with some of those people. But Big Brother 14, it was like Dan, Brittany, Ian, and a little bit Ashley in Janelle's words, and the rest were trash. Like,
they're
not
still
feeling
salty
14 at all. They really are. Dan just like did the once over on that season, man. They cannot move past it.
Well, and I mean, again, though, like they, I think it's the combination of people and like the, cause they were salty even before Dan did anything. They were salty the coaches entered in the first place. This was our season. This was my dream.
So
that was my Frank.
Frank. And they brought him back.
They continue to talk. Janelle and Kaser do eventually check in with each other, which was awesome to see. But Janelle is a little worried. They're both a little worried. Kaser's like, nominations might be tomorrow. And she's like, really? And so they are concerned about that. They need to get a sense of where Cody is at here. Janelle tells Kaser, we shouldn't be seen together. And Kaser's like, I mean, it's obvious.
That's where he's wrong. He's really wrong about that. First of all, a lot of people did not watch this season. They do not know how close they are. Yeah. They played on the same season together, but like Kaser could easily come at this from the standpoint of, you know, hey, we really don't talk very much. You know, I haven't talked to Janelle in years. Like, I don't talk with Janelle. Like, she's got her own life. She's a lot closer to, you know, other house guests. I don't know much about her, honestly. Like, he could go that route. It's not obvious. I just think that he's really missing. Like, I know people say Kaser is a strategist, and I guess, like, you know, on some level he is, but I think that this is a missed call on his part, Taryn.
So So that was them checking in. Enzo is holding court up in the HOH room.
Was he?
Yeah, yes. There's a lot of people that, again, that have been up there for a long time. Enzo actually told the story of the origin of the Meow
Thank
Meow.
You. Oh, I'm so glad we can talk about this. Are you going to tell them?
You can tell the story. You're probably going to tell it better.
All right. So Enzo tells a story about how he got his nickname, right? And he's like, you know, like, I mean, I'm going to try to do it in the Enzo voice. So he's like, you know, we're in Jersey and I got my three boys and these two girls in my car. And, you know, we were going for a ride and we were smoking a couple blunts. And then Devon is like, hell yeah. He said blunts and she said, hell yeah.
And going then, crazy. Yeah, we got the people. Yeah. We got a couple girls in the car.
Thank you. That's better. And then he says, so, you know, we're smoking our blunts, having a good time. And all of a sudden, this girl, she just lets out a fart. And then she tries to blame it on me in my car. And then I said, what are you doing? And she said, never mind. Meow, meow, meow. Never mind you. Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah.
And then she said, he said, literally, my nickname was manifested out of her ass.
Yeah, it's he says that it wasn't even really like a thing. He came into the Big Brother house and he was just like, just like, yeah, I'm the meow meow, and you're the animal, and you're the beast. Let's the brigade. This is why we love Enzo,
right? Whenever we're on a podcast and I disagree with you, I'm just gonna be like, never mind. Yeah, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow. Enzo, again, this is Enzo the character. He is a super funny guy. And I'm definitely interested to see, where he is at strategically. Ian is going to be talking to Nicole Franzel in the storage room.
Yes.
We open in this conversation with Nicole being like, I mean, you know, you deserved to win, but like, I mean, it was Dan Gheesling. I mean, the New York Times called him the best player of all time. I mean, like, you know, he only got one vote. I mean, come on. Like,
I didn't understand what she was saying. Like, at first she was praising Dan and then like she was like shading him. So like she was trying to shade him, right?
So basically what was happening here is the message she was conveying was, we're the only two winners in this house. You saw firsthand what happened to Dan. The only reason they didn't vote for him, no offense to you, is that he was a previous winner. Everybody knows this, in the superfan community. He's Dan Gheesling and he got one vote. And that's because he was a winner. They didn't want to write down the name of a person that had already won. And the difference it made in his life versus your life was dramatic, because he had already won. We as winners need to stick together because we can't beat anybody else in the final two. And it's a good argument because it's true in the case of Dan Gheesling. That said, I think an all-star jury is much more likely to reward a previous mm-hmm. winner than yes. This was my dream cast. But I love the argument and I love the idea. I think they're both on board with, like, you know, I mean, they probably would want to work together anyway. And having this kind of extra glue is definitely going to help out. Ian says, I agree. I think we need to work together. And so they want to work together. They start to throw out some names. Nicole names one person. She says, I feel good about Memphis. She wants to potentially work. I did not see her interact with Memphis.
Not once.
That night at all. So that was interesting to me. Ian suggests Nicole Anthony and Kevin. And Franzel is like, Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think Nicole probably plays both sides, you know, but, you know, for now, yeah, sure. But I like Kevin a lot.
Yeah. Kevin good, Nicole bad. Yeah. That's what she was saying, basically. Yeah. Oh, by the way, it was great watching this conversation. You know, like Ian played, what was 8 years ago, and Nicole's played much more recently. And she was honestly, we observed it on Twitch when we were watching together last night. She was like a mom to Ian. She was like fixing his microphone because it was flipped around, and she didn't want Big Brother to call him over the loudspeaker that he was obstructing his mic, because then people might think that he was talking strategy in the storage room with her. Also, she was making sure that they pre-planned what they were going to have or, you know, be saying or doing, but, you know, if somebody walked into the storage room. And like, it was apparent to me that she was the pro.
Yes. I mean, Nicole, you know, it's weird to think about it this way, but Nicole is one of the more experienced players on this cast. And it shows, flipping the mic around, saying we need to make sure that we're ready to go, like move in a direction when somebody comes in. Ian did not pull it off very well.
He did not pull it off. No, and all of her advice went out the window. God, go ahead and do it, Taryn.
Christmas came in. And so like what she did was she set them up so that they were angled off of each other so that they could walk in separate directions when somebody came in and like be doing different things. So, of course, when Christmas comes in, Ian just like looks up like a deer in the headlights. He's like, so what are you up to?
Guys, he was so awkward, like adorably awkward, but oh my god, like just bad. I'm sure Nicole was like, just stop. Like
it was like, great. It was
yeah,
great.
It would have been better if you had just said to Christmas, yeah, we were talking strategy. Like he might as well have just said that.
Yes. So then finally late in the night, Tyler and Cody finally were able to connect up in the HOH room when all the lights were out. They lament about the fact that Kacer walked in on them. They think they got away with it. They talk about like, let's run this thing. Tyler mentions that when he came in with his group, it was Ian, Enzo, and Kevin. He's like, I hadn't talked to any of them. Definitely implying that there were other people that he did talk to that aren't here. And Cody was like, yeah, I didn't want anything to do with that HOH, but I was looking at that lineup and I was just like, I don't trust this enough. And so we needed to take it. And Tyler said he wanted to win. It didn't work out. But that they will be working together. They both seem excited about it. I think again, they've probably talked about it. I think this is a good fit. I think that Tyler is very much like, he's not the same player as Derek, but he's of a similar caliber. And I think Cody's a very good player as well. If the two of them team up in the way that Derek and Cody teamed up, I think they can do some real damage. However, I do think they need to be very careful about being seen together. I think that where Derek and Cody were able to hide their relationship, and even when people thought they were friends, they're so different seeming that you didn't really group them together too much. Whereas Tyler and Cody are like of a similar age, similar build. They're both like young, charming guys. They pair together. They're both like physical threats. They're going to be seen as very dangerous if people notice that they're buddies. So that's where there might be some balance to this, but definitely a deadly duo, and giving Tyler some time to be completely safe this week and free to get his claws into people is definitely going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, for those people who were rooting for a quick demise for Tyler Crispin, I think you are going to be sorely disappointed. I think this is, considering that Josh and Casey are not here, I think this is probably about as good of a setup as he could have wished for. So for somebody else who is an ally of his to win HOH, for him to be safe for a week, to be free to make relationships and not worry about, you know, possibly ever hitting the block, And he can really, I don't know, just he can really try to make a run at this again.
Yes. And again, like noticeably, Cody did not go to anybody else in the way that he went to Tyler. Granted, he didn't have as many opportunities with anybody else. I have to assume he has some kind of relationship with Devon, based on their, you know, poly connection. I assume that Bailey would be somewhere in there in the mix. Christmas, as somebody who was attached to Josh, who was pre-gaming a lot according to the rumors, you know, it does seem like there's a potential group somewhere in there. We'll see if it you know comes together at any time, at any point. I imagine that we're going to start to hear about targets, we're going to start to hear about alliances today on the feed, so make sure you tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to hear about that. But yeah, that was basically the night on the feeds. We can talk about a little bit more about the different groups of people talking. I mentioned the sort of like the nerdy crew out on the, you know, the lounge portion outside of the HOH. There were a group of women that were talking in the photo room a lot. It was like Danny and Devon and Nicole Franzel. And I think, you know, like maybe Christmas was there at points, but they were talking for a little while. We did see Ian Nicole Anthony talk a little bit. Memphis definitely seemed to fit in with this sort of like nerdy crew, which was interesting because that's not really him.
But he also, oh, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
He did seem to have that a little bit of something with Janelle, which doesn't surprise me because Janelle is the only person who wanted to see Dan Gheesling there. And let me tell you, Dan Gheesling is the 17th house guest in this cast because every single one of these people at some point over the night was like, I'm so glad Dan's not here. I'm so scared of him. He's so good. I'm so glad he's not here. And I was like,
I love the point in time. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Best move Dan made this season was not playing on the season.
Right. So Danny Briones and, was talking in the bathroom. I can't remember who she was talking to, but Nicole Franzel was there. And she said, Danny goes, I can't believe like, Derek and Dan are not here this season. And under her breath, as we saw last night, Nicole Franzel says, like I'm fine with it, like, which I didn't hear until Rob replayed it last night, but like that's all I need to know about that. Like I couldn't believe she said that. Also the fact that Memphis went to bed early, that was the other thing that I felt good about with Memphis, because everyone was, you know, worried about getting a chance to talk with Cody. Memphis didn't really seem to have any worries. Like he was like, oh, I know I can talk to him tomorrow. And he just went to bed. He was the first house guest to go to bed. And that leads me to believe that I think that he feels relatively good about where things are with Cody.
Yeah. So interestingly, the Memphis mentioned that he was contacted for the first time just 3 weeks ago, which means he had about 1 week before entering quarantine to pregame. I have to imagine that him and Dan coordinated something, maybe got in touch with Janelle, probably worked overtime in a week to make some connections.
Yeah, because you know that I'm like 3 weeks ago. I mean, like, you know, Dan Gheesling can see what we see all out here. And 3 weeks ago, like I already had names of people that were that ended up on this season, like at least like, you know, 12, 13 of them. And you have to believe that Dan tried to set up Memphis in a particularly good way.
Yep. But he had limited time versus, you know, somebody like Cody, who I think is seemingly one of the better setup people so far. Granted, he's HOH, so it's easy to look that way. But Cody, I think, had more time. And it definitely, you know, if I'm grading the pregame based on the first night of feeds, Cody, I think, has the best grade. Janelle, who we heard was pregaming a lot, does not seem to have any solid connections with anyone beyond Kacer and Memphis. And we, Ian as well, who I think could be in trouble this week, depending on his level of pregame connection. I did not see him with any kind of solid pregame stuff. Yeah. Maybe he talked to Nicole and that's what sort of prompted this conversation that they had in the pantry. But beyond that, I did not see anybody that, seems to be like, Ian, yes. So that's a little, it's another little concerning.
Little concerning. Yeah. The chat is asking about, Keisha and David Alexander, because we didn't really talk about either one of them.
Keisha was pretty silent on the feeds. She was not super present. She was in the HOH room for a while. But beyond that, there wasn't too much. I don't think I got any game talk from Keisha over the course of the night. She did talk to Kacer, as I mentioned, about like, it's weird here. But she's definitely taking it slow. I think that, you know, Keisha was a player that liked to, you know, work with the people that she like got along with. I think on her first time around.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that she's in a house with people that she might not relate to as much, as easily, maybe. She's in a different point of in her life and stuff like that. But I do think that I think she'll work with Davon, but I just didn't see much of their conversations. Davon was hanging out with Bailey a lot. They do have that challenge connection, so that's not super surprising. The bedroom situation is that Davon, Bailey, and Christmas are in the comic room, if you can call it a room. Tyler, David, Enzo, and I believe Danny are in the photo room, which used to be the RV room last year. And then we have Kacer, Janelle, Nicole Franzel, and one other person, Keisha. Did I say Keisha already?
I think so. I forget. Sorry. I never write down the bedrooms because I always feel like people move around after the first week. So whatever.
Yeah. Yes. But they were in that room, and then the have nots are up in the
have nots. And then Cody's by himself upstairs in the HOH.
But Christmas, Davon, and Bailey were chatting for a little while. Christmas and Davon were kind of bonding over their shared Paul jury votes and the different ways they went with it.
Also bonding over motherhood too. Davon and Christmas both bonding over the fact that they've had kids, talking to a few of the house guests about possibly having kids and how much it literally changes your life when you decide to bring another human being into the world. So something else there. Yep.
David was kind of making the rounds. He did not do much research. At least that's what he's saying. He didn't really know who anyone was. He said, I can't really watch the show. I'm not into it. And so it was a lot of like introductions with David. Like, oh, your name is Danny? Okay. Hi. Nice to meet you, Danny. But like socially, he's good. Like he was making the rounds. He was trying to form bonds with people. He was talking to Christmas for a long time. I think that's a great connection for him because they're both super CrossFitty and, they also like, they're also very like zen-y. Like they talk about like, mental stuff. Like, meditation and that sort of thing. So that feels like it could be a good connection. He was talking to Bailey for a bit and Tyler. So I think that he's making some decent social bonds so far. But I still think he's seen as a little bit of a wild card in that house. He just has such a different perspective coming into the game. He talked a lot about his time on Big Brother 21 and all of that.
I was just going to say really quickly that I think there is also a non-zero chance that both of those people hit the block. Keisha didn't really have any bonds with people that I could see, especially not with some of the people that might be in power. Maybe she has a connection with Davon, who ultimately might have a connection, with Bailey and Tyler, and like maybe like through 6 degrees of separation, maybe she can be safe there. David Alexander, also a non-zero chance of hitting the block and going home. I know people think, oh, they would never do that. I think Francesca also said the same thing on Survivor. And the other thing about David, no offense to him. I mean, like, I saw him last night, and obviously I got to watch him for 4 weeks last year. Obviously, he was only in the game for a night, but I got to see him for about 3 to 4 weeks, and he's not terribly charismatic. He's a lot more of an introspective individual. And, you know, if I'm necessarily rooting for someone to stay, I mean, he's not, I need more from him. That's what I'm going to say. So, you know, he's hopefully over the course of this week, he can provide me with at least some strategy and some deep thinking about the game. Because if you're not going to bring the entertainment, at least give me something.
Bailey and Janelle are actually talking as we speak.
I saw that.
Janelle is a little bit worried about potentially going up on the block. Bailey pointed out that that Cody and Tyler are pretty tight. That Tyler is Cody's like right hand man right now, and so they are already. This is exactly what I was saying earlier in this podcast, that they are very easy to connect those dots, and it's a very threatening pair to have them together. Janelle also mentions that Cody is a guy's guy, and that that's part of why she's a little bit worried. I think that's a misread on Cody, but it's easy to give off that, to make that narrative, especially if you're talking with other women. So we'll see how this goes. I'm definitely curious to see where Bailey is at. Is she trying to throw Tyler and Cody under the bus? Is she, is she fronting here by being like, those two, they're together, not me, I'm not with them, when really she might be, who knows? But we'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that comes of this conversation and every other conversation for the rest of the day today. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up, Brent?
I think we're pretty good. We got out most of the stories, most of the fun stuff from last night. It was a really fun night, a quiet night, but a fun night getting to reminisce with some of the house guests about who they liked, who they didn't like, what they thought of their previous season's stories that they had to share. But I'm really excited for today. I think everyone's got a good night's sleep. They're going to wake up and they're going to realize that the game is afoot and that they better get cracking. So I think it's going to be a very fun day today. Obviously, I don't know. I was reading the chat. Did you already announce that they can join us tonight for, I'm sure, a quick update? Well, but right before we do our Big Brother draft.
Yes, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, we will be doing our draft. We'll talk about all these people and, we'll draft them.
Yeah, it's going to be me, Taryn, Melissa, and Amon Adwin from, I say from Twitter. He's actually from RHJP, but from, I love Amon from Twitter. So he's going to be the fourth team. See if he can take us down. And it'll be fun. So yes. I'm excited for that. And like I said, we'll give you an update on everything that's happening. Also, tomorrow is Rob's also going to join us?
Yes,
I wasn't aware.
Rob is also with us.
Sorry, when they told me Amon was coming, I didn't think that Rob was. So, but that's awesome. I love the fact that all five of us are going to be there. Also, the fact that Puya is going to join you tomorrow. I'm going to guess for Puya Fridays or
Puya Fridays.
Yes, I'm all excited about that.
It's happening.
Yes.
All right. So tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Tune in tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll have plenty more for you. And that's what we have for today. So thank you so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We were up until like 6:30 in the morning last night, watching these feeds on Twitch.
We were.
So, that was interesting. But you can find me there. You can find Brent at One Lucky Gay. Make sure you check out some of our other shows as well. Puya from Puya Fridays is covering 90 Day Fiance. So that's fun. So check all that out. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll see you next time.